I'm Afshan Ratansi and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the heart of the Middle East. Today on World Food Safety Day, Gaza is starving. On the second day of Eid al-Adha, Palestinians are forced to march to US-Israeli weaponized aid zones. There they are gunned down, humiliated and filmed by American mercenaries. This, backed to the hilt by a Trump administration openly calling for ethnic cleansing for Palestinians. Trump's Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff presides over a tragic farce of ceasefire talks, let alone wars on Iran and against Russia through Ukraine. Trump is continuing Genocide Joe's policies that Biden official Matthew Miller finally came clean about this week. He admitted he had been smiling and deflecting for Jeffrey Epstein-linked Antony Blinken all the time, knowing full well Israel's daily mass murder of civilians constituted war crimes. Arab foreign ministers, including from here in the UAE, were meanwhile barred from the West Bank. Ambassador Riyad Mansour, the permanent observer to the state of Palestine to the UN, joins me now from New York. Ambassador, thank you for coming back on Going Underground. Here in Dubai, the newspaper Gulf News, he went to get food for his kids and came back dead. Father of six killed for a piece of bread during Gaza aid operation. As you know, the Trump administration characterizes the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation as proof that it cares about Gaza. The UK and France continuing to supply the weaponry, killing the children in Gaza. On this World Food Safety Day, what have you made of the UK-US EU-backed aid handouts?
What we need is to allow the United Nations and its mechanism to receive the hundreds of truckloads that are lined outside the Rafah crossing to enter the Gaza Strip and to distribute it to the 400 distribution stations manned by UNRWA and other UN agencies, to provide for our people the basic needs for survival as human beings. Using food as a war weapon is a crime against humanity, and those who are ordering it and executing it should face the justice that they deserve. The Palestinian people should not have a choice between being killed by bullet or killed by starvation.
Hang on, Ambassador. You said those ordering it. Well, Trump is ordering it. I mean, are you saying that Trump should face justice?
I don't know if President Trump is ordering it. I know that the occupying authorities are the ones who are executing this order for the objective of pushing the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip to only one possible conclusion, and that conclusion is you cannot live in Gaza, you have to leave Gaza. It's ethnic cleansing, it is genocide, and they want land without people, and they don't care about the Palestinian people if they go anywhere. So that is the plan, and that is the plan that humanity should defeat and not to allow it to happen.
Yeah, it's clear that the UNRWA trucks are not going to be let in, as is being repeated in Washington on Fox News every other day, let alone in Israel. So how do you understand the process as it's been going on this week? I mean, is it the people of from North Gaza, they're told to come to these areas for food, then they are cooped up and then they are shot dead, men, women and children. Is that how it works?
This is what's really happening. They're saying for the 2 million plus Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, they have to travel so many kilometers to five stations of distributions of food. It is a plan designed by the occupying power to make life extra hell. Life is hell to Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, as described by the Secretary General of the UN. But they want to make it impossible so that either to die or by you know, bullets or by starvation. But the only option that they're offering is beg for mercy to leave the Gaza Strip so that they can have ethnic cleansing put in place in the Gaza Strip. And our people, in spite of the difficulty that they're going through, they love Gaza and they want to stay in Gaza and they want to provide for their children and for their families. And it is the duty of humanity and the international community to provide them with the basic needs through mechanisms that are in place that can reach them quickly It has been tested so many times in the past, and they prevailed and they were successful. Never was there was starvation in the Gaza Strip until this time. They are using this criminal method, cruel method, in order to force the people to flee the Gaza Strip. And they are, so far, after 20 months of hell, they're refusing to do so.
And what's your understanding of what happened in the West Bank when GCC representatives wanted to hear more about this? I understood the UAE representative, the Saudi Arabian representative, they were banned from coming to Ramallah to meet your leader?
Along with the Egyptian representatives, the Qatari representative and Jordanians, this is the committee, a ministerial committee that wanted to come to Ramallah to meet with President Abbas and the Palestinian leadership, and to brief them about their efforts to stop this criminal war against our people and other efforts for opening a political horizon through the conference of the two-state solution in New York to be convened the 17th through the 20th of this month. The Israeli occupying authorities denied them access to Ramallah, but nevertheless, they were determined. They had a Zoom meeting with the Palestinian leadership, with President Abbas, and they issued a communique. And we are grateful for what they are doing and grateful for the continuation of their work in preparation for the convening of this international conference in the General Assembly in New York, as I mentioned, on the 17th of this month, June.
It's not only the CIA, the mercenary elements that had fought their failed wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria that are involved with the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, because they claim $100 million has come from a country in the European Union. Who is this country that has collaborated from the European Union with the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation in Gaza? Do you know who that country is?
No, I don't. I'd like really to know, but also that they...
How do you find out?
I don't really know. You are a clever journalist. You have more access than me in knowing what is happening in Europe. Once you find, you know, the answer to that question, please share it with me, because I'd like to know.
Yeah, every country denies it. Every country denies it. I mean, how are your relations there? I mean, tell me about what it's like to be there in the UN Security Council. We're recording this shortly before the UN Security Council resolution that you wanted passed. What is Dorothy Shea like? I mean, Trump says that he wanted his former advisor, national security advisor, to be the new U.S. ambassador to the UN. It look like it's going anywhere. What's she like, Dorothy Shea, as she continues to say that UNRWA shouldn't be allowed to bring the aid trucks in? And this is a great idea, this Gaza Humanitarian Foundation.
Well, he is not succeeding, in convincing the UN system, including the Secretary General of the UN and all senior officials, nor the Europeans, because all of them, they are standing with the UN, and that the UN has the capability, has the experience, has the personnel to be able to carry this task honorably and under the provisions of international humanitarian law. Why do we need to reinvent the wheel? But be that as it may, you ask me, how is it in the Security Council? I am grateful for getting the support of 14 members out of 15 of the Security Council. And we hope that the 15th member also not to obstruct the will of the international community to allow for humanitarian assistance to reach the Palestinian people in all corners of the Gaza Strip, and to have a ceasefire in place, because ceasefires save lives. And we want to save the lives of Palestinian children and women and the vulnerable and those who are really starving and living, in tents or living in shacks or living among the rubble in order really to survive and to provide for their families.
Is it your understanding that Trump can make one phone call like he did for his inauguration and create a ceasefire? Because there was that brief ceasefire as he was inaugurated. Trump can just make one phone call and he can stop the Holocaust.
I believe that he can make a phone call. In fact, he was successful in reaching the deal on the 19th of January, a day before his inauguration, in which the ceasefire started. And it was 42 days in which hostages were released, prisoners were released, people were able to receive humanitarian assistance. 500 million Palestinians walked from the southern part of Gaza to the north, walking on their feet, giving their answer to how much they love Gaza, knowing that in the north they will be going to ruins. But if your country in ruins, or if there are palaces in it, it is your country. And if you live your country, you take it as it is and you make it better and you try to fix it. And this is who we are, the Palestinians. We live we love Palestine, and Gaza is a precious part of it. And we are determined to rebuild it and to make it more beautiful than before, because this is our obligation and our love to this country that we love immensely.
The conference you gave this week at the UN, you invited journalists to, I don't know, break the blockade from all around the world. I know there's a flotilla sailing there by the time this is broadcast. Who knows, the same tragic events of the Mavi Marmara may have happened. So you want journalists to come there and break Israel's ban. I mean, do you want to also say thank you to Elon Musk for reducing censorship on X? Because the world can see it on social media, the scale of the genocide.
Yes, I invited the journalists to go and, to go in all parts of Gaza and to report about this genocide against our people in the Gaza Strip. The world need to see with their own eyes the reality in Gaza. I also invite the Security Council to go and visit Gaza. Go and see with your own eyes. The 15 of you, go and see it. Since you are entrusted in the maintenance of peace and security in the world, and what is happening in Gaza is a threat against peace and security, go and see it. And President Abbas issued 10 days ago an invitation to all countries, break the blockade against the Gaza Strip. Come through our sea, come through our skies, and come through our borders. Bring humanitarian assistance. Protect your humanitarian assistance, whether in ships, in aircrafts, through your own capabilities of protecting your assets. Do not accept that Israel is the one to determine the fate of the Palestinian people. The one who will determine the fate of the Palestinian people are the Palestinians themselves, with the help of their friends, those who are bold, by sending ships, aircrafts loaded with humanitarian assistance, and not being deterred by the ruthlessness of the Israeli army. So we welcome any effort in that direction, and we should not be complacent. We have to break this blockade. And we ask all countries who care about the Palestinians and that they don't want to see the children be killed, don't send weapons to Israel to kill our children.
Ambassador, I'll just stop you there. Obviously, Israel would kill us at Going Underground if we broke the blockade, but Ambassador, I'll stop you there. More from the Permanent Observer to the State of Palestine to the UN after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the Permanent Observer to the State of Palestine, to the UN Ambassador Riyad Mansour. Ambassador, you were talking about your invitation to journalists to break the blockade. You know, the former Shadow Emergency Minister in Britain, Chris Williamson, said that journalists at the National Union of Journalists in Britain, including BBC presenters, laughed at the thought of Palestinian babies being blown up. They were the ones, also delegates at the National Union of British Journalists, voting against every pro-Palestine resolution. I know you monitor vaguely all the propaganda in corporate media in NATO countries. What have you made of the BBC continually having to say Israel denies there is a genocide? Israel says this, Israel says that.
I think that there is a shift in that narrative, including not only of the BBC, but CNN and other reporting, some of them. I was listening the other day to a reporter of CNN from Tel Aviv. He said that there were credible reports saying that about a kilometer away from a distribution food center, the Israeli army started sniping against Palestinians. And I think that they killed at that time 27 Palestinians. By the end of the day, the number went over 50.
So you think these broadcasters, you think after 140,000, I don't know what the figures are of the number killed in Gaza now, once it reached over that amount, they started caring and thinking of you people as human.
Well, listen, shame on them and not, you know, going there to begin with, to tell the truth as is, not as it is told by the Israeli side and the narrative of the Israeli side. But to come late is better than not to come at all. It is the duty of all international journalists to find ways to go to the Gaza Strip, to report about the horrors of what is really happening to the Palestinian people, and to tell the world of what is really happening there in the hands of the Israeli occupying authorities. And those criminals should not get away free, and they should face the justice, them and their leaders who gave them the orders, who are also boldly saying, without hiding it, that all the people in Gaza are supportive of Hamas, therefore legitimate target, making it legitimate to eliminate 2 million Palestinians. If that is not genocide, tell me what is.
Yeah, and I mean, as I say, of course, all of us, the reason journalists can't get in is they would be detained and tortured by UK, US, EU armed Israeli police. You singled out Britain and France appearing to change their perspectives ahead of the UN
and Canada.
I mean, yes. Say Britain. I mean, does Britain continue to fly spy planes from Cyprus to Gaza to facilitate the genocide? Do you know about that? Have you asked the British ambassador, Barbara Woodward, about that at the UN?
No, I did not. You know, I'm interested in Barbara voting in favor of our resolutions. That is my domain. The military domain is not my domain. Those who know about these things, like what you are saying, should be the ones to follow up with the British officials.
So Britain might vote for a resolution that you support, knowing full well the United States will veto it, and it manages to then say to the British people, look, we do care about babies being blown to bits, but they know, anyway, the United States will veto it. Meanwhile, they also send the spy planes the better to target the Palestinian children. What's the point of that?
We say clearly all those who are sending weapons to Israel should stop sending weapons, because these weapons are being used to kill our children and to our people. And we are intensifying this effort for all countries to stop doing so. We appreciate what Spain did on the 25th of May when they had a meeting there and declared that there should be a military boycott against Israel, should not send weapons and ammunition to them. We need more countries to join that. We need to embarrass those who are still sending weapons to kill our children, and yet in the same time say that they are against, you know, killing Palestinian children. If you are genuinely in favor of not killing Palestinian children, don't send weapons to kill Palestinian children.
Okay, but if you don't know about Sir Keir Starmer's spy planes over Gaza, you said Jerome Bonafont, French counterpart. Does he seem like a nice guy? Because the French government part own Thales, which owns Imperva, which is linked to Brigade 646 attacking the civilian shelter in Khan Yunis School in Al Nusrayat. I mean, you're hanging around with these people in New York at the Security Council who are deeply embedded with the Israeli war effort. In Britain, of course, many in the British government were funded by Israel, bankrolled by Israel, like the British Foreign Secretary, David Lammy.
Listen, you know, it is not my job, you know, to carry all the responsibilities related to this question on my shoulders. The area where I operate is at the UN. My main task at the UN is to mobilize the largest number of support to Palestine and to the question of the Palestinians.
Yeah, but if you name the companies, maybe the F-35 helmets with the display systems, they wouldn't be allowed to be sold to the Israelis so that they could shoot the children. Do you think, after the rejection of the latest ceasefire Obviously, the United States saying it was Hamas that did it. Hamas saying it was the Israelis. Do you think Israel wants Hamas to control Gaza? Of course, Israel has previously funded Hamas. Hamas seems to, as part of its agreement, want to say it's stepping down from control of Gaza as part of their plan. Do you think that's what Israel doesn't want? Because it doesn't want your party anywhere near Gaza.
You see, this Israeli government and governments before, from the time of Sharon, they wanted to divide the Palestinians and to fragment the land of the state of Palestine, to separate Gaza from the rest of the occupied territory, because their philosophy that you divide them, you weaken them, and therefore you will not allow for the creation of the state of Palestine.
So is it playing that game with Steve Witkoff right now?
They've been playing that game all along, and they are continuing to play that game. It is our duty to put our house in order. It is our duty to have a ceasefire, to save the lives of our people, and to provide them with humanitarian assistance to rebuild Gaza and to have a political hope. These are our duties.
Is the problem here that you are seen by the Palestinians as a proxy for Israel? That you get your salary paid to you via Israel? I mean, Mahmoud Abbas gets his salary presumably paid through Israel. Is that not a huge problem, that Netanyahu allows the transfer of funds to you and members of Mahmoud Abbas's leadership?
Listen, you know, we have many problems that we are facing. We are under occupation, and the occupying power is the one that determines whatever they want to. They just stopped a ministerial delegation from coming from Amman, you know, to Ramallah. I was going to a leadership meeting in Ramallah. They kept me for a number of hours in the crossings in Jericho, and they kicked me out to go back to Amman. They stopped Abu Mazen, President Abbas, from flying for 7 hours in a helicopter to go to a meeting before they gave authorization. They are an occupying power. They are deciding whatever they want to as it relates to us.
Yeah, but so are you are you a bit like a hostage, one of Netanyahu's hostages? I ask because if they control every movement, I mean, you have a bit more freedom than Mahmoud Abbas. But if you are seen as a proxy for Israel, what about what...
We are not a proxy for Israel.
But what have Fatah forces been doing, killing Palestinians? Why are they killing Palestinians in the West Bank?
They are not doing that.
On the 28th of December 2024, Fatah snipers killed Shatta al-Sabag in Jenin. Fatah admitted killing a Palestinian teenager.
Tell me in which country, including the Russian Federation and the United States of America, in which that there are no incidents that happen every now and then in which the security forces or the police do kill individuals in the course of the daily life. Why do you put us to be measured on the scale of angels while we are living hell in Gaza and living hell in the West Bank?
Of course, and no one is doubting it's not genocide, but do you not think elections are required? Some type of representation?
No, elections are required. We want to have elections, and we want our people to judge us, and we want our people to select whomever they think that are the best to lead us during this stage and the following stage. Of course, we want to do that if we are provided with the opportunity to conduct elections. They are killing us in Gaza.
I mean, is this deputy, Hussein al-Sheikh, the deputy PLO? Was he elected?
By the Central Council of the PLO, yes.
Because it's not me. I'm not trying to divide the Palestinians. Mahmoud Abbas started criticizing Hamas in the middle of all of this. How important is unity going to have to be in the face of this genocide? As many around the world think, it could be the end of Israel and perhaps the beginning of a new Palestine.
Listen, you know, our national unity is a top priority, and we have to conduct it. And we have to find ways to put our house in order through agreements on basic things related to our situation. And I think that there are efforts, there are meetings taking place It is not that easy because every Tom, Dick, and Harry is getting involved in our situation and they pull in so many different directions. Our situation is not easy, but we should not lose sight of accomplishing national unity. Many countries helped us, Egypt to accomplish that, Algeria, Russia, China, Qatar, and many other countries. And we are grateful for all these efforts, but yet we are unable yet to resolve all these complicated issues, but we should, because unity is one of the most important and strong weapons available to us to overcome all of the challenges.
Okay, just finally, Ambassador, you also at your press conference this week mentioned Nelson Mandela when it came to resolving this whole situation. Mandela, someone I've interviewed actually here in Dubai once, he supported violence. Do you mean the violent Mandela who created the consequences and situation which would enable the end of apartheid? Or do you mean the Mandela who seemed to be no longer the freedom fighter he once was, albeit in a different time where at least some sort of truth and reconciliation could occur? Isn't that what Palestine needs now, a Nelson Mandela of the former kind?
I think that Nelson Mandela is a leader that we look into it and to learn from him. He went through a stage of armed struggle as Yasser Arafat and Mahmoud Abbas were the leaders during the period of armed struggle. And when they concluded the Oslo Agreement and went back to Gaza and to the other parts of the occupied territory, they started waging, you know, peaceful struggle in order to accomplish the objectives.
So even after genocide, it doesn't warrant armed struggle now?
Well, you see that any leader would look at the behavior and the decision that you make and see the results of it. This is not the time for us to assess and evaluate all of this conduct and all of this action. Our top priority is to stop the killing, to stop, you know, what is really happening to us, the genocide in the Gaza Strip. And then there will come a time to evaluate and assess by all of us of what happened. And, you know, and to conclude from it, what we will conclude and hold those who are responsible for the things that were done that are approved by our people and the things that were not approved by our
Ambassador,
people.
Ambassador Riyad Mansour, thank you.
You're very welcome.
That's it for the show. Our continued condolences to those bereaved by the UK-US-EU armed genocide in Gaza. We'll be back on Monday with a former chief of staff at the US State Department who openly worries that the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation operates better to shoot starving children dead in Gaza. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media. If it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Monday.